Si quid petieritis pacem in nomine meo dabi vobis. If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, this Sunday, the fifth after Easter, we prepare for the ascension of our Lord. Today's Gospel passage, taken from St. John, is a reminder to us of the origin of the Church's practice of ending every prayer with the words, Et Christum Dominum Nostrum, through Christ our Lord. To put today's Gospel in context, the Apostles were unhappy at the news that our Lord would leave them. To console them, our Lord told them that he would not abandon them. He promised them the Holy Spirit, who would lead them to the fullness of truth, and would reveal to them their sins so that they could present their souls for healing to our Lord. He also insisted that they could ask the Father for anything in his name, for if they did so, he will give it to you. Let us look closely at these words of our Lord. We wonder often that prayer seems to be frustrating. We ask many times for what we want and do not get it. It is a fashion today, especially in non-Catholic churches, to add the phrase, in Jesus' name, at the end of every prayer. Today's Gospel establishes for us the reasons for this and the proper conditions of prayer. It answers the question, how should we pray? In the Garden of Eden, we read in the book of Genesis that after his creation, Adam would talk to God the Father as a close friend, while taking a walk in the garden in the evening. This is the kind of friendship with God that our Lord came to re-establish, since it was no longer possible after the original sin of Adam and Eve, as well as our own personal sins. In obedience to his Father's will, our Lord suffered, died, and rose again to redeem us from our sins and to save us from their consequences. He gave up his life for us so that we could recover that friendship with God once again. Because his sacrifice is perfect in every way, it is the only sacrifice that is found acceptable to God the Father. And it is for this reason that before he ascended into heaven, in addition to promising his disciples the help of the Holy Spirit, he assured them that their prayers would be answered if they prayed in his name. Et Christum Dominum Nostrum. This is a solemn promise of our Lord, given that he introduced it with the words, Amen, Amen, I say to you. This coming of the Holy Spirit is a gift so complete, the fathers of the Church tell us, that the apostles, and us through them, would be convicted of all truth. They would become theodidaktoi, taught by God. They would have no need to ask any further about those things which they used to inquire about before the coming of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it would be enough for them to invoke his name before the Father so that even in his absence, they may obtain all things from him. Systematically in the New Testament, when we read our Lord saying, Amen, Amen, I say to you, he is making a solid promise. In doing so with his apostles, and through them to us, it was as if he said, I promise this to you, because you are my most intimate friends, disciples, and apostles, whom I love supremely. So I take a singular care for you, and provide for you in everything. He promised them that whatever they asked for would be given to them. Since there is no contradiction in God, they had to ask for whatever is salutary for them and honorable to God, something solid, useful, and pleasing to God. The phrase, you shall ask, is translated by etesete, which is Greek for a whole range of words, demand, pray, petition, implore, strive for, insist upon, beg for, and invoke. And that too in a manner that is fitting and proper, which means humbly reverently, confidently, fervently, and perseveringly. In short, when we ask anything of God, we should pray on our knees and not stop until God's will is accomplished in us. Just as He taught us to call God our Father, He encourages us to ask Him for what we need with great hope and love, as children from a father. For He loves us supremely with paternal affection. We should ask for things in His name, that is, in Jesus' name and His merits, not through ours. To ask in the name of Christ is to ask those things which Christ desires for us and wills to be given to us, namely those which pertain to the salvation of the soul. Such a prayer is efficacious and is heard by God. Lord, give me that which Christ the Lord desires in me, which He Himself desires to be given to me, for which He Himself, dying on the cross, prayed and requested to be granted to me. Again, what the Blessed Virgin wishes for me, what she herself prays for me, for she loves me and my salvation, and knows better than I what is more useful to me for it. Our Lord assures us that God our Father will give it to us surely and certainly if we ask as we ought. Why then do we not obtain what we ask for? It is because we do not ask for those things which we ought to ask, or we ask in a manner and way which is unacceptable, as St. James tells us in chapter 4 of his epistle. The fathers of the church explain that the affirmative promises in Scripture require certain conditions. If our Lord says, ask and it will be given to you, firstly, we must ask with humility and reverence. For if we lack these, but pray proudly and presumptuously, we do as the Pharisee did, Luke chapter 18, obtaining nothing. Secondly, we should have contrition for our sins. The immediate effect of this is that we pray with a serious desire to become a friend of God, since sins make us enemies of God. Therefore, we should examine our conscience and use the sacrament of confession if we want our prayers answered. If we persist in our sins, we will not be heard by God. In Isaiah chapter 1, we read, I will not hear you because your hands are full of blood. If we want God to hear us, first we must hear and fulfill His law ourselves. First we must do His will. Then God will do our will and fulfill our desires. Thirdly, we should have great faith and hope or confidence that we shall obtain that for what we ask only through the merits of Jesus Christ. Many lack this confidence and therefore do not obtain, failing to show this confidence in the death and resurrection of our Lord. St. James tells us in his epistle, chapter 1, let him ask in faith, nothing greater. St. Basil, founder of many monasteries, tells us in his constitutions of the monastery that our prayers are not heard because you have not asked rightly, because you ask either wavering in doubt or during voluntary distractions. Fourthly, good prayer requires perseverance, as is clear from Luke chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, where we read of the friend who will rise even late at night after persistent knocking, so that we receive bread necessary for our guest. Finally, St. Augustine also tells us that God sometimes denies what we ask because it is more expedient for our salvation and His glory. He does not hear us according to our will, but according to our salvation. We know this through St. Paul, who prayed to be freed from the thorn of the flesh, because in God's view it was more useful to him for humility and for continual struggle to victory with it. This is why St. Paul was told, my grace is sufficient for thee, for power is perfected in weakness. Moreover, St. Augustine tells us, we should not be surprised if our prayers for others are not answered. It could either be our fault or the fault of those for whom we pray, who by their sloth or malice render themselves unworthy of God's grace, and sometimes even rebel against God and spurn Him when He calls. Tempted men, therefore, must cooperate and collaborate with those praying for them, that these prayers may be heard, just as a sick man must cooperate with his doctor to be healed. If he refuses to do so, all of the doctor's labor and skill are in vain. So let us turn to Our Lady, so that we do not stop by discouragement or despair once we have begun walking on this path of virtue. Our Mother in Heaven will teach us to talk to our Son and address our prayers to the Heavenly Father in His name. She can show us the great value of humility, of being truthful in acknowledging our place before God, admitting our sins, and begging Him for mercy. With her help, we can pray the words of the post-communion of today's Mass. Grant us, O Lord, you who have fed with the virtue of a heavenly table, to desire what is right and to gain what we desire. O Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.